Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
We're in our series called Advance because we are all about moving forward, taking what God has deposited in us, allowing Him to work in us and through us. And so as we delve into the word in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart." Verse 19 says, "They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ." Turn to somebody and encourage them. That's not the way you learned Christ. "Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off," everybody say put off. "Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And to put on," everybody say, put on. "Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." This is the word of the Lord for us today. Father, we thank you for your word that is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to cut between bone and marrow. Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, that as you come and minister to us through me, Lord God, I pray that I'll be a conduit of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would enable me to deliver your word with a precision, Lord, that we'll be able to hear, Lord, what your desire is for us to hear. Lord, unadulterated, unfiltered, let us hear from you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Obviously, the title of my message today is the Apostle Paul's Guide to High Fashion. Now, when we look at that scripture, you'll notice that I emphasized certain words in that scripture. The emphasis of the word put off, to take off, to completely disrobe yourself of whatever you had on. Put off. See, what Jesus is requiring of us is to completely disrobe ourselves of our past. But so many of us live in a place where it's kind of like one of those half jobs. How many of you have seen people wear like a half jacket? I don't know about you, but like I've kind of been tempted to wear like half a jacket over the last 2 weeks because it's been really cold here in Brisbane. I mean, for some of you who have come from colder climates, especially the Kiwis in the room, you're like, man, be a man. Do the right thing. You know, like you're looking at me like, come on. But, you know, I am Samoan by ethnicity, though I've never lived in Samoa. I claim its temperature. And I lived in Singapore for the last 8 years before moving here just under 2 years ago. So I have acclimatized myself to warmer temperatures, which is why I love Brisbane, apart from the 6 weeks that we call winter. And so I've been tempted to, you know, but here's the thing, right? I've always noticed when I watch the weather that they have the highs and the lows for the day, right? The lows will be somewhere in the vicinity of 6 degrees Celsius, and then the highs will be 29, 30 degrees. So I have to decide how to layer myself when I go out, right? Especially for my brothers and sisters on campus. You know, you guys spend a lot of time outside and outdoors. You know, when we run our life groups out there, we're sitting out there and we have to decide, is it going to be a cold day or a hot day? But what God requires of us when we commit ourselves to walking out in His purposes is to know how to dress for the occasion. I remember an author by the name of Dale Carnegie, writing in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, he would write, "Don't dress for where you are, dress for where you're going." And he's talking about not just dressing for the occasion that you're going to, but dress for where you want to see yourself in life. In the spirit, I hope you catch this in the spirit, you can't wear certain things together at the same time. My daughter said to me, when Tina was in the Philippines, my daughter's 8 years old, Nazareth, she said to me, "Dad, why don't you just wear like two jackets when you go out, and then when you walk out, you know, and it gets a bit warmer, then you can take one jacket off." And I told her, because I don't need any help with my girth. Because you also look silly when you layer yourself too much. So there's an aspect of taking off in order to put on. You can't put on the new self without taking off the old self. And so this is the gist of what I want to talk to you about today, and look at three particular scriptures that Paul writes in different epistles, different letters, about putting off the old self and putting on the new self. What are aspects of your character? What are aspects of your personality? We've already talked about it during our time of singing with regards to what God wants us to abandon so that we can move forward. I mean, even Joe, maybe what like Joseph was saying, I hope you caught that. You know, you can't receive what God has for you if your fist is closed. There's an aspect of closedness when you still are clothed in your past. God wants you to disrobe and abandon your past in order to move forward, to advance in what God has for you in the future. And so there's an aspect of putting off old ways and then putting on new ways. What did the scripture say? Putting off all that belongs to your former manner of life. Now, for some of us, it may be as glaringly obvious as sin. So for some of us, we may have seen patterns of a sinful life from our past. And so when we came to know Christ, when we came to the saving knowledge of who he is, it became a lot more obvious that we were to put those things off. Because to enter into life as a Christian, those things just can't come in because it's glaringly obvious that those things need to be abandoned. But some things that you are to put off aren't as glaringly obvious. Some attitudes that we carry, some thought patterns that we carry, some ways that we carry. You know, things that would help us to anchor ourselves in the integrity that God has called us to walk in. What may be some of those things? Now, I'm not going to get into a list right now. I think Paul has an extensive list, and we're going to look at three of those scriptures about putting off. Let's look at also putting on. God wants us to put him on, the new self. Put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Another scripture by Paul, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if you are in Christ, you are a new creature, creation. You're new. You're totally unrecognizable. It's like the difference between a butterfly and a caterpillar. Once it's been insulated in the cocoon, there's a process that God uses to break that person, to break that caterpillar in order that it may go through the chrysalis process and break out as a new butterfly, completely unrecognizable. How recognizable are you? Is your Christianity to your friends who are around you before Christ? Is there a difference apart from your religious talk? Is there more of a difference in your character than just praise the Lord, brother? Can people recognize the difference? Have you truly put off your old self and put on your new self? Well, let's get into this. As I go through this list, here is the question that I want you to ask yourself. I don't want you, okay, here's the religious temptation in a sermon like this, all right, on a message like this. The religious temptation would be to say, this message would be good for fill in the blank. Okay, some of us are like already scared about this one would be good for so-so. This person, you know, you look at the back of the church, oh, I hope they're here. They need to hear this, all right? I want you to focus on you today, all right? Here is the question behind me. You can ask it like this, just under your breath. Am I like that? Okay, can you say that with me? Am I like that? Okay, am I like that? Now, here's the thing, okay? Our guest services team with Steph and the team, they would have given you two T-shirt-shaped pieces of paper. On one of them, either one, on one of them, I want you to write, put on. On the other one, I want you to write, put off. Okay? And as the Holy Spirit speaks through these scriptures, I'm not going to give the Holy Spirit any help. I think the Holy Spirit is more than powerful enough through the delivery of these verses. I want you to write specific things. Everybody say specific. Okay, it can't be broad. It has to be specific because these are things that we're going to put off so that we can enter into this new season as Christians, as followers of Christ. Are you with me today? Do we understand? On one piece of paper, I want you to write the things that you're going to put off. On the other piece of paper, I want you to write those things that the Holy Spirit begins to expose that you are to put on in your life. Are we ready? Okay, and as we go through this, I want you to murmur just under your breath. Am I like that? Okay. Say that one more time. Am I like that? All right, here we go. Here we go. Get specific, everybody. Here we go. Galatians 5 says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. Now, when we say sexual immorality, we are not just talking about a specific kind of sexual behavior. We are talking about anything that breaches what sex is designed for within the context of marriage, okay? Between a man and a woman, just to be clear, because we are getting specific here, okay? Anything outside of that is immoral, because there is a moral way that God wants us to use sex. Just being clear, okay? Sexual immorality, impurity. And again, this is not just sexual in nature, but any thought patterns that we have that expose our impure nature, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, putting anything before God, sorcery, witchcraft, anything of the occult, worshiping other gods, enmity, that's just like extreme like hatred towards people, strife, jealousy, so that's like a comparison. Do you often compare yourself to other people? Fits of anger, rivalries. Am I like that? Is he like that? No. Am I like that? Dissensions, divisions, causing division in relationships. Envy, drunkenness, orgies. Again, this is not just specific to a particular type of activity. It's any immoral sexual behavior or even thought pattern that enters your mind. And in case none of those, you're like, oh, I'm sweet with that list. Here's what Paul says. And things like these. Just adds that. Just in case you thought, oh, I'm off the hook. He says, anything like this. He says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Wow. If these things are patterns in your life, if these things recur in your life, if these things are evident in your life, let's not try to exercise excuses. Let's just deal with it. Let's not dodge. Let's deal with it. Because you will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is how serious we are to take these things. Look what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So there's no restriction on these things. So these are the things that we put on, but we have to put off those things. Let me tell you something. You don't just stop at putting off. You have to put on. You have to put on Christ. Ask him, Lord, show me how to love. Show me how to experience your joy. Lord, give me your peace. Teach me how to be patient, Lord. Lord, teach me patience. I can't wait till you teach me patience. Be patient. You know, like ask God, Lord, robe me in your things. Robe me in your fruit. Robe me in your character, God. I want your character. I don't want this anymore. So we're putting off and we're putting on. Are you with me today? Is this helping anybody? Okay, because this is about to get real. This is, I mean, if it's not real already. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. Sounds like it's pretty dead. Sounds like the old is pretty dead. You don't crucify something and go, I'm still alive. No, it's dead. It's crucified. It has died. Okay? Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Write this down, not on that paper, but in your notes, if you're right, taking notes. Your desires will be evoked by what you give your attention to. Your desires will be evoked by what you give your attention to. If you give your attention to immoral things, those things will become your desires. If you give your attention to things other than Christ, those things will supersede the desire that you have for Christ. It doesn't have to necessarily be immoral things. It can be amoral things, meaning things that don't necessarily have morals. But you have such a fixation on those things that they become immoral. What do I mean by that? For instance, money. Money is not necessarily evil. It's the way you use it and the way you love it that determines whether it's evil or good. The Bible actually says in 2 Timothy that the love of money is the root of all evil. So when you begin to have a focus and an affection upon money, making money, I'm not going to do that unless I have money. I'm not going to go on this missions trip unless I have money. I'm not going to give unless I have money. I'm not going to tithe unless I have money. I'm not going to commit myself to what God may have for me in the future unless I have money. Then money takes precedence over God. When we can say that money serves us in a way that God should, because God is the creator of money. But instead of trusting God, it's funny on the American dollar bill, right? In God we trust. But for some of us, it's on the God that they trust, that we trust. Who is the God that you trust? See, money, again, is not necessarily evil, but it becomes evil when it becomes our idol, the idol of our hearts. Some of us are on the brink of making career decisions, and we look at what are the pros and cons, and then we go, okay, the pro is I'm going to make a lot of money. The con is I will be away from my family. I won't be able to spend time building my faith with the church. I won't be able to attend church on Sunday. I won't be able to, you know, be a part of community. I won't be able to develop my faith, but I will make a lot of money. And so you're at a point of choice. What should evidently be a no-brainer sometimes wrecks our brain because our focus has been on what we really desire because we desire what we give our attention to. Are you with me today? Okay, so understand that there are dodgers. Don't be a dodger. Turn to somebody, encourage them. Don't be a dodger. There are different kinds of dodgers. How many of you have seen the movie The Matrix, right? You remember when bullets were being shot at Neo, right? And it, like that, right? Check it out. Flexibility. Go Pilates. You know, like when we are confronted with a word like this, and again, I've only gone through one scripture. I've got two more. We dodge it. We don't get specific. We keep it broad. We dodge it. Please don't dodge a message like this. My heart for you as your pastor is that you let it get where the Holy Spirit wants it to hit. Because his word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And he wants to cut out that cancer so that you can move effectively forward as he's called you into that calling that he has for you. Do you realize that that thing, that cancerous sin or that cancerous thing that is a character flaw that's in your life is holding you back from everything that God has for you? We just sang about it. He's a good father. He's not just a good father. He's a good, good father. That's who you are. He is a good, good father. And you think a good, good father would hold things back from you? No, it's on you to make the decision to leave that behind, to put off the old. But it's going to take us not dodging what God is trying to bring our way. Now, this is not just for the men in here, because I know that this commercial can point towards just us as men. But this is for all of us. Like when we're confronted with the responsibility of what God has for us, we kind of dodge, sink into the couch. No, I haven't done it yet. I shouldn't do it yet. This is that word. This is that time, my brothers and sisters. You knew it was going to come when you were confronted with what God has for you, and we have to deal with it. Let's move to some other scriptures. Are you with me? There's the other type of dodger, which is the RJMT, the religious Jedi mind trick Christian. So you might be in a discipleship meeting. If you're a male in here, you're with one of the brothers, and you talk to one of the brothers. Hey, bro, how's it going? How's that thing? You know, remember that time we talked about that thing that God's dealing with in your life? How's it going? Oh, yeah, praise the Lord, brother. God is good. He's so faithful. I'm so rejoicing in all of his goodness. It's just praise the Lord. I am just filling up space with empty words so that I don't feel awkward because right now I'm trying to keep it as broad as possible so that you think I'm okay. You're not okay. Deal with it. Don't try and fool. Like, I grew up in church, right? I've become quite somebody who knows how to manipulate my words so it can somewhat please the ears of those who want to hear. But I'm not getting the help I need if I position myself that way. So I can't cover myself. I can't robe myself in religious robes. God wants you to take that off too, because you can't put him on until you take that off. Just that religious Pharisaic, hallelujah, brother. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Yes, he's good, but how are you? Oh, you know, God is awesome. You know, like when we start to say awesome a whole bunch, I get really concerned. You know, Christians with their awesome. Oh, man, God is awesome, man. It's awesome. How was the game? Oh, it's awesome. Man, it's awesome how the Warriors are going to beat the Cavs. Not the New Zealand Warriors, the Golden State Warriors. Pray for our New Zealand Warriors. Oh, everything's awesome. Pizza's awesome. Church was awesome. How was church? Oh, it's awesome. What did God speak to you? Oh, you know, he's just awesome, man. Just awesome. You may fool me, but I'm not the one that wants to help you put on that which will take you to the next level. It's on you. You are responsible for your response. And that's the word. Responsible comes from that word, response and able. You are able to respond by saying, God, deal with this funk that's in me. I'm being specific. I am dealing with this area, and I want you, because I'm crucified with Christ, no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me, I want you to deal with this, because I can't take it anymore in my life. This pattern that I'm seeing, I believe that all through this room, there's some of us dealing with patterns, and we're just kind of like that 90s move. You know, I know there's a resurgence of the Running Man, but there's also this move that was in that same music video by Bobby Brown. For those of you who grew up in the 90s, for those of you who did not grow up in the 90s, Bobby Brown was an R&B singer. He was the king of R&B at the time in the 90s. And he had this move that was from his his music video called Every Little Step. Anybody be a witness with this Every Little Step? Okay, all you young people in here, just trust me, okay? There was this move that he did. And let's imagine that this line here is the line between sin and righteousness that is marked out by the law of God. This is the move that a lot of us do in the spirit. You know, after he does this move, which is called the Roger Rabbit, he does that move. You remember that one? Oh, I didn't know. And then he does this move. You remember that? That's, some of you don't record that. Again, I'm crucifying myself so that to make a point, you will never forget this now. Tina's like, keep going. But here's the problem. Like, there's the line, and we keep jumping back. I'm saved, I'm not. God wants you to cut off the old so that you can progress and move forward in what he's called you to. Too many of us are just like, This is not the Running Man, by the way. Don't get me to do it. I'll run out of breath and I won't be able to preach the rest of this message. But please don't play games. Don't miss out on what God has for you. Put off the old and put on the new. Let's move on. Let's go into the rest of these scriptures. Colossians chapter 3. Another one of Paul's greatest hits. Colossians chapter 3 says, put to death. Everybody say, put to death. Therefore, what is in earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, anything evil, any desire that's evil, covetousness, liking stuff that other people have and you don't have. Am I like that? and Paul, I love the way Paul says, covetousness is actually idolatry. It is idolatry. Am I like that? On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. So now you must put them all away. Everybody say, put them all away. Put them away. Don't even keep them in the closet anymore. It's time to light the closet on fire. No more. Put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, like talking badly about other people. Gossip, slander, talking ill of other people. Let me tell you something. Let's just stand up here so you can. Some of us Christians are the worst at this. Talking bad and spiritualizing. And so we have to, so we can pray for our brothers. We can pray for that sister. You know, just pray for her. Because of, you know, the way she acts. Coming in here like she all that. You know, pride comes before the fall. And look at those high heels. She's going to fall. Lord, I pray for my sister in the Lord. That she will learn how to humble herself. No. That's slander. That's malice. Am I like that? Yes, you are. All right? Deal with it. If you're causing dissension, if the way you talk breaks up relationships, you don't need to just shut your mouth. You need to deal with your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. There are deeper issues there. Even if you shut your mouth, it'll come out some way. Facebook. I'm just going to leave it there, because some of you are getting into that. That's for somebody else. No. I'm talking about you. Deal with it. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Like when your friends who don't know Christ start going that way with their talk, are you with them? Like endorsing. That doesn't mean you have to, praise the Lord, brother. I cannot hang out with you because the Lord hath told me that I cannot deal with you talking like that. So shaka bahandra, I'm out of here. No, I'm not talking about it like that, guys. But I'm talking about living a life that does not compromise when that sort of talk becomes present. There's ways to slip out. Ask the Holy Spirit for ways out. 1 Corinthians says that when there is the temptation, there's no temptation that which is uncommon to man, for the Lord always provides a way out. There's always an exit door. When you are tempted, there's always an exit door. It's just a matter of whether you desire the exit door. Or are you like R. Kelly? My mind's telling me no, My body. No, no, no. Exit door. Exit door. Leave it. Leave it. I had to go there for some of you because some of that religious stuff is starting to seep in by the Spirit. I'm here to tell you, like, deal with it and leave it. If you're around guys that joke that way, just walk out. Sure, they may, you know, joke about it, but I'm telling you, underneath all that, they will respect a real Christian a lot more than somebody who's a dandruff, flaky Christian. Obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put on the old self with its practices. Can I get really, really, really real with you? Like, I'm talking about when you lie to somebody, like you say you'll be there and you don't show up. And we're going there. Look, Ian Brisbane, we have to step up. I have to step up as your pastor. I'm not perfect too. But these are things that God is dealing with all of us, with myself included. Look, if we're going to reach this city, we need to keep our promises. We need to be people of integrity. If you schedule to meet with somebody and you don't show up, you are defaming the name of the Lord because you represent Christ. And so when you say your yes, let it be your yes and your no be no. Because the more we do that, the more our words start to weigh less. And they become like that feather at the beginning of Forrest Gump. You know, yeah, I'll be there. We want some weighty words through some weighty Christians, come from weighty lips. We need to be people who will not lie. God is not a man that he should lie. And if he's living inside of us, we need to represent him well. If we're going to reach this nation, we don't need to be flaky Christians. That's why, like Roisin was saying, we need to set good, solid, biblical foundations in our lives. Show up on time, too. Show up. It's good to see some heads down and some pens writing right there. Thank you, Jesus. And put on the new self. Woo! High fashion. Which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. You know why? Because the new self looks like Jesus. It doesn't look like you anymore. Looks like Jesus. So here's how we're going to deal with this, guys. Firstly, I want to encourage you to confess. Confess those things. Confess those areas. Ask God, God, if these things are specific ones that I need to deal with, then God, I want you to show me the right people to confess these things to. The Bible says in James chapter 5, look at this, this is scripture. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Ask God whom he would have you share those things with. Some of those things, you know, for those of you who are married here, some of you need to share with your spouse those things. For those of you who are married, maybe you are dealing with issues that are more specific and you need to deal with them with a specific person that's in your life, like a mentor or a pastor or somebody who's discipling you or raising you up in your faith or training you in your faith, then get together with that purpose, with that person. But here's my challenge to you all. Let's do it as soon as possible. I would say that by Friday is the latest. But I would even venture to say, if you have that person inside this room right now, to actually talk to them at the close of the service, confess that sin. And actually come, we're going to have a moment where we can respond with those things. But look, guys, if you've been writing those things down, those things are holding you back from everything that God has for you in order for you to advance in what he's called you and who he's called you to become. So confess. There's power in confession. Next thing is to express to the Lord your willingness to change. And I'm going to give us the opportunity to do that in just a moment. But look at this promise, guys. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to your will, to his will, he hears us. How many of you know, how many of you would say it's his will for me to move forward in what he has for me? How many of you would say that without a shadow of a doubt? It is his will for me to move forward. How many of you know that God wants me to move forward in all that he's called me to become? How many of you believe that with all your heart? Then there's power in this, what I'm saying. This is the way we're going to deal with it. We confess our sin to the people that can help us out. And then we declare before the Lord, God, I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. These are the specific areas where I'm going to need your character. I'm going to need to lean on your grace. I know that you are a faithful God, that if I confess my sin to you, you are faithful to forgive me, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. The Holy Spirit is here. He wants to help you. He wants to help you deal with these things in your life. You don't have to go with those things in your life and exit this door with those things still on you. You don't have to. It's really on you. The choice is yours. But what is your choice? And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.